Well, it's been, for some of you, it's been a long month. For some of you, it's been a short month, but we're finally here, Christmas Eve. And I thought I wanted to start this morning by just talking a little bit about Christmas traditions or memories. And I wanted to give an opportunity. If you, who has a particular Christmas tradition that you think is sort of interesting or something that you've done forever and you can't even remember how it got started, but you just do that every Christmas? What are some of those traditions that you guys have?
We shy. Open one gift Christmas
Eve. You do one gift Christmas Eve.
It's also our anniversary.
But we let the kids
know.
Thank you for happy anniversary.
Jesus was born today. Mike and Cindy were married. Other Christmas traditions, things that you've enjoyed doing through the years, or it doesn't, if you don't do it, it just doesn't quite feel like Christmas to you.
Look at Christmas lights,
like the tunnel of lights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tunnel of joy. Do you have one?
No.
Okay. Every day is Christmas.
I'd sound like a horrible person.
You'd sound like a horrible person?
Okay.
Anyone else?
Eat.
Eat? Anything particular?
No.
Nothing, just eat? So every day is Christmas for you. Yeah. For me, one of the things, I really like watching Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's one of those movies where if I don't watch it, I feel like it's not quite Christmas season. But growing up, we always watched the version that was on TV, and then finally when we watched the DVD version, my dad happened to walk in at just the moment where there's one choice, some choice language, and his phrase was, what, Rebecca?
Terrible language.
So that was one of our Christmas traditions. One of the other things, for those of you that don't know, I grew up part Swedish, part Norwegian, so we would have lefse, and we would have something called lutefisk. Who knows what lutefisk is?
I'm sorry.
You don't want to know what it is.
Nasty.
It's lye, it's cod that's been soaked in lye until all flavor and substance is leached out of it, and it's gross.
My grandmother did a better job than that.
Well,
she was from Sweden, personally.
The diehards know how to do it. The rest of us, we didn't figure out how to do that. And each of you in different ways, you've got different traditions that you've grown up with.
Is that tradition still being followed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll see if my mom can take a picture of it.
Yeah.
We finally convinced them one year to add meatballs to the list so that we didn't have to suffer through just some tasteless fish. But, for some of you, as you think back, home was a place to belong, and for some of you, it wasn't. For some of you, home was a place where no matter what was going on in your life, you felt loved, and no matter what you brought in with you, you knew that love would be there. And for some of you, you didn't have that kind of experience growing up. Sometimes home for you was a place of pain and anxiety. Rather than a place to belong, you didn't always feel like you fit in. This morning, both experiences, no matter what you're feeling, are valid. Home can be both of those things for us, because they touch upon a deep longing within the human heart. The fact is that we are all longing to feel like we belong. Whether it's belong somewhere, belong to a place or to a community of people, something that is bigger than ourselves. We have this deep longing within us, not just to belong, but to be loved as we are, and a desire for things to be in the world as they should be, as God intends them to be, for things to be actually made right in the world. The deep longings of our heart, however, also dwell in the reality of our world. And our world is full of brokenness and pain and heartache amidst joy and celebration. And it's both often at the same time. When we look around, we can see or feel the brokenness around us. It can cause us to feel alone or lonely or by ourselves or feel like something is missing. And the reality is that something is missing in our lives. There's a reason why we feel a voids, why we feel like we don't always fit in. It's because this world, at best, is only our temporary home. God so loves us that he desires to be reunited with us, to bring us home, if you will, to the one who says, here you belong. Here you belong. It's why we say that Jesus is at the heart of Christmas, because when he arrives to show us the way home, the heart of God is revealed. One of the traditions at Christmas time for a lot of people is to read the Christmas story. And one of the cool things in the Bible is that we actually get multiple Christmas stories. It's like if you had one scene and two movie directors, they each would shoot the scene a little bit differently based on their perspective or just who they are as a person. And we kind of have that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them give us a slightly different perspective or different details. I want to read from Matthew this morning. The book of Matthew in particular was written specifically first for God's people, the people of Israel, Jewish people. And it was designed that they would actually come to see that in Jesus, the fullness of God is revealed. And that they would see God's heart shown, his desire to restore and redeem this world that we're in. That we could actually come home to him. So let me read Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I don't remember learning that in Sunday school growing up. That part. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. It took an angel speaking to Joseph in a dream for him to be convinced that Mary's pregnancy was the real deal and that it wasn't a reason to call off their wedding. Instead, what was happening was something that would change the world forever. It was something that was divinely ordained and planned for by God. In the account that Matthew writes about and shares, we see the heart of God actually revealed. Matthew reminds us most importantly that Jesus came to save us from our sins. You know, Christmas has become about so many things, but at its heart, it shows us how God chose to deal with that breach in our relationship, that distance that we had between God and us. Each of us, we know, missed the mark. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we might be, we always are going to miss the mark in some way. in that, it's kind of cool because we're all together in that. We're all in the same playing field. There's no one that's better or worse in that regard. God's heart of love and compassion, however, moved him to send Jesus as the way to rescue us and rescue the world. Matthew reminds us that Jesus came so that God could be with us. Of the many names that Pastor Amy shared with our kids this month, the names for Jesus, the one we focus on today is Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. Now this God with us was totally revolutionary in that day. Every other religion that surrounded Bethlehem at that time saw gods as divine beings that punished or corrected their subjects from way far off, you know, way up there somewhere. So this idea that the Lord God Almighty would come to be with us would have blown minds. It would have been unheard of. Now a new reality was being born into the world. And it wasn't what people were expecting, that the Lord God of the universe was born as a tiny little baby, helpless and vulnerable. And even though we sang it, I'm pretty sure Jesus did cry. That's how he communicated. Feed me, I'm hungry, and all those things. Jesus became one of us, flesh and blood, to live as we live, cry as we cry, laugh when we laugh, feel what we feel. And that's a good thing, because it means God identifies with us so that we are more able to identify with him. God knows exactly what we needed, or more accurately, who we needed. Humanity needed Jesus then, and we need Jesus now more than ever. I don't know exactly who said it, but someone once said that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. A Savior who came to eliminate any barrier between God and us. A Savior who invites us into the home of the God who loves us. It was because of God's love that Jesus was sent. And when he came, he lived his life with an unwavering commitment to us. Jesus left his home to show us the way to our home. In fact, Jesus himself said he came to seek and save the lost. He gave up the splendor of heaven to walk in the dust with us. He laid aside his divinity, all power, so that he could be fully human. He put on humanity as if a new set of clothes. And he did it so that we would have a way to return home to God. Anyone ever been lost before? Do you have a story about getting lost? You got lost at Disneyland, and what was that like?
I just remember waving at Mickey, because he told me to wave goodbye to Mickey, and then I turned around and they were all gone.
So you waved at Mickey, and then everyone abandoned you.
And then they left.
And then how was it resolved?
Are
you still lost?
No, yes. Okay. Still chasing after.
And how did that get resolved for you?
I'm very obedient, so I knew that I was supposed to find a security person, so I did, and they were there too.
So it got resolved.
Yeah, I was six.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else ever feel lost or have been lost before?
We lost our son. He was how old was he? Like two,
three or four.
So we're in Penny's at the mall, and she's looking to get some clothes and move the rack.
Yeah, it was Christmas time.
And he just, all of a sudden we turn around and he's gone. And we're looking, we're kind of panicked for a second. Then we look down and there he is walking without a care in the world, walking to different stores.
Wait, oh, no. We're like, let's just watch him a minute, see what he does.
And people were afraid. Yeah.
His name wasn't Kevin.
No. we always dressed him in fluorescent clothes so we could find him.
So he was like a little nightlight or a
first time.
He was a highlighter. No.
Yes, he was a highlighter. And we showed people that look like, who is that? And Mike could catch eye contact and say, like, we see him.
A number of years ago, I was in Colorado and we were doing a hike up to the top of a mountain. Except it had snowed on part of it, and so this trail we were following suddenly disappeared. And we just kept going in a certain direction that we thought was the right way to go. And then we actually realized that we were so far off course that we had to do we didn't do quite a 180, but we had to do a serious veering back to try to find the trail. And it took so long that actually one person in the party couldn't complete the hike, and so somebody had to turn back with them while we tried to find the trail again. Luckily, we made it through in that instance. I felt like a failure because all of that Boy Scout orienteering, it's like it, you know, in the panic of the moment, it just went out of my brain totally. And we ended up in a place that I had no idea where we were. And sometimes when we're in life, that can be true for us too. We end up in places that we're like, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? I have no idea where I am. And unfortunately, sometimes we keep moving through life with little sense of direction, and we make decisions that keep us off course instead of seeking the directions that will get us back on course. It's like the stereotypical husband who doesn't like to ask for directions and just keeps getting more and more lost until the GPS kind of kicks in and gets you back on course. Christmas is that reminder for us. Don't listen to your husband. No. Christmas is that reminder that we need to get pointed back to the light of the world. That when Jesus came into the world, God said, "This is how I'm leading you back home. Now and forever, bringing you to your forever home and your forever family. No longer do we have to live life lost and alone and completely incapable of knowing where we are." John 3:16 is perhaps the most well-known verse in the entire Bible. You see it on almost every backstop when they try to kick a field goal in a football game. Somebody will usually be there holding up John 3:16 in the back. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have" what? "Eternal life." Everlasting life. The most quoted verse in the Bible is a Christmas verse. Albeit it's an unusual Christmas verse. It's about what happened on the night of that first Christmas, that God sent his Son. If you want to come back home, to a place where you belong and are loved and called family, then all it takes is to believe in Jesus. That's it. To believe in a Savior who can not only save you and rescue you, but who came to be with us so that our very lives would be transformed every single day. At the heart of Christmas is Jesus' invitation to join him in this. To experience the fullness of life that he offers to everyone. It's an invitation to believe in him. And in that invitation, you now have a place, and more importantly, a person to belong to, and a place to become where God has created you to be. When we did the funeral for Chris's mom, we had a series of motorcycles that went by right during the gravesite part of the service. So that just, I feel like I'm home right now. Of all the gifts that you could receive in the next few days, the invitation of Jesus is perhaps the most precious one ever. It's a gift that won't break. It won't rust. It's a gift that doesn't need to end up in the closet in the back. And you don't need any batteries for it either. For each of us today, the question is simply, can we receive this gift from God? to trust him with our lives and believe in him without limitation. And when we do, God says, welcome home. Welcome home. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And it says they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So friends, one of the reasons I wanted to read that story is that was one of the things that my grandpa always read every year, and never really knew if he was a follower of Christ or not until the day he died. And my mom asked him, and he shook his head, even though he couldn't talk at that moment. And I just remember all those years of him reading that story and not really knowing how he felt about God, but just to know that even in that moment, somehow the Spirit of God was getting through to his heart at the very end. This is that sign of hope that we can hold on to. Well, church, it's pretty special to be able to do something like this, a little bit unusual for us, a little bit out of the ordinary, to be able to gather together outside, celebrate this Christmas Eve. I just want to wish you all a Merry Christmas today and tomorrow, and whatever you're going to be doing and whatever you're going to be eating. And those of you that are traveling or on the roads, please be safe. And we invite you all back here on Sunday, New Year's Day, 10:30 a.m. We're going to sing a couple of Christmas carols and have brunch again. So look forward to that. But I want to close with this. Since Jesus is the heart of Christmas, may he give you all hope and peace and joy and love. In these days, receive his gift as you go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.